And then we're just going to have a whole lot of fun talking about an iconic moment.
Yes, I cannot believe I was there.
Madonna, forever. Madonna, forever. Madonna, forever. Madonna, forever.
You're listening to MLVC, the Madonna podcast, your place for all things Madonna Louise Veronica Ciccone. I am your unofficial celebration tour correspondent, Stefan. And today on the show, we have a returning guest, friend of the podcast, Michael Cooper, who attended last night's now historical show of Madonna's celebration tour in Los Angeles. Welcome back to the show, Michael.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here and very, I'm still on like sensory overload from last night.
I'm sure. We'll set the stage for a little bit. So if you were asleep while this was happening and you woken up to the news, just to give you some context, last night there was a pop culture internet breaking moment heard around the world. Last night, pop royalty worlds finally collided when Madonna invited Kylie Minogue on stage to sing an acoustic version of I Will Survive and a few bars of Can't Get You Out of My Head. We're going to talk about that and hear about Michael's firsthand experience from amidst the throngs of celebrities on the floor at the Kia Forum Arena. So let's get to it. So Michael, was this your first time seeing Celebration?
It was not. The first time I saw it was in LA. I actually was fortunate enough to be going to 5 out of 5 shows.
Oh, okay.
Most I've seen on a Madonna tour, to be honest. But this is the one to do that, I feel.
Yeah.
So I was there Monday night, Tuesday night, and then last night was my third night.
Okay, so you didn't... I guess that actually probably worked in your favor, because then that way it wasn't like you had already been able to digest a little bit of the show. Where had you been the first two nights of the tour in LA?
So the first night I was in the 100s, kind of like with a view of everything, which honestly, mm-hmm. I thought that was the best way to see the show for the first time. It just to kind of take in and see everything all from that vantage point. I think that's the way to go. I think you've mentioned that before. The second night I actually didn't have tickets for yet before this week. And so I took your amazing advice and waited until the very last minute to try and get a ticket. Literally came back from the concert Monday night. It was like 1 or 2 in the morning and checked Ticketmaster, and they just released like buttloads of tickets for the next night that I literally could have my pick of pretty much anywhere I wanted to be on the floor, except for right in front of the catwalk.
Mm-hmm.
I ultimately decided to go for the last row on in front of the main stage. So the first row at the end of the base of the catwalk, if that makes sense.
So basically where you were was, if you were facing the front, that's where she comes out for Nothing Really Matters. And then if you turn around in your seat, you'd basically be facing her where she was doing Die Another Day.
Exactly. And no one was in front of me for that.
Yeah, that's actually a really great seat to do, because I was in the row in front of that in Philadelphia. And if you're smack in the middle of that section and you're in that row that's in front row, because you know, and then you get close, and yeah, it's actually a really great vantage point.
Yeah. So I basically was seeing all of your other viewers talking about these amazing photos, seeing their amazing photos. I was like, I kind of want to be close for a night. So yeah. I was glad to have the first vantage point and then have the really close vantage point. And that was an amazing experience. I got amazing photos, you know, mm-hmm. had possible moments with her, etc. So that was what I had already experienced going into yesterday's show.
And so last night's show, you had already purchased those tickets in advance, correct?
Yeah. So I had bought one. This was my VIP night. So the only night I got a VIP package, I got the Where's the Party package.
Does that include the room? Do you get to go into the room? No. Yeah, I know.
I got the swag, and I got the, you know, separate VIP entrance, which, funny enough, security was tighter that on this entrance than they were the first two nights on the regular entrance.
Yeah, I honestly felt the same. I think I had iconic VIP for Philadelphia, and I stupidly thought I'd get to go into the room and get the little drink tickets, which are the little rosary things. No, it was, and yeah, literally there was other people in the venue before me, and I'm like, well, what's the point of this VIP thing? I'm like, so I get the baseball cap and the lithograph and the little knapsack and some stickers. I was like,
Yeah. So, but what worked out serendipitously is that the seat I had chosen was on the floor, and it was basically the end of the catwalk, one section over. So very, mm-hmm. very amazing vantage point of the end of the catwalk. So it ended up being the perfect place to see last night's show.
Yeah. Well, and before we get to the internet breaking moment, because that's coming up, let's talk about the people that you were sitting with.
Oh, jeez. Yes. So I went by myself, but I was actually talking with...
You were not alone.
No. I saw the show with many celebrities. I actually just posted right before this some stupid, like, paparazzi type photos of them that I took. So obviously Ali Wong was the Vogue guest.
Okay. Can we just say poor Ali Wong? Like, if it had been any other night, maybe Ali Wong would be the conversation today. Yeah. But like, poor Ali Wong. It's like no one even remembers there was a Vogue ballroom guest after last night.
To be honest, you gave me a heads up that this was possibly going to happen. And then I assumed it was going to be the Vogue guest that Kylie would do. And then we heard rumors that, you know, it's going to be an actual performance. I thought that was very far-fetched and was not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So when Ali Wong was the Vogue guest, I was like, I'm probably going to text Stefan later and be like, no, Kylie. So anyway, so Ali Wong. But okay, then this was the kind of like... amazing moment. So probably about 10 minutes before the show started, and this was the latest of the three that started. This one started a few minutes after 10. The first one started the earliest, but I mentioned
9:30. I know. I couldn't believe it.
I know from, I used to write for LA Weekly. So I know the first show is always when the press goes. So I think she makes it a point to be early or
so that's more. Not the narrative. You know what I mean? Because right. if she, and I guess for every other city, like LA, she's got 5 dates. You know, when she comes to a city like Philadelphia, she only did the one date. So it's like the press are going to be there when they're going to be there, you know, like, and she'll just show up. But like for LA, out of the 5 nights, if there's tickets that are still unsold that she wants to sell, she doesn't want the lead story after the first night to be Madonna showed up at 11 o'clock. You know?
Yeah. And they're all mentioning it now, like in their reviews, like, but for those keeping track, she took the stage at this time. Like, right. Even if not.
It's
like,
so stupid. They just want to shit on her for some reason, but not after last night.
Yes. So anyway, so about 10 minutes before the show started, the venue staff and a few security brings in this like group of people. And then I see everyone around me starting to freak out and get their cameras out. And I look over and literally, again, the best vantage point, the section over from me. So right next to me in front of the catwalk, but then one row behind. So like I could literally see right over my shoulder. In walks, and here, I'm gonna give it to you in the order that they sat. Nia Vardalos from My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Right.
Next to her was Paris Hilton. Next to Paris Hilton was Kathy Griffin, who looked amazing, by the way, I thought. And then next to her was Sia.
Mm-hmm.
And next to Sia was Lunel. She's a comedian. She was in Borat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So yes, this huge group of celebrities came, sat like literally right there next to me. And so I thought that was pretty interesting because like Sia is a singer as well.
She's
covered Madonna. So it was cool to kind of see her watch the show. I've always been a fan of Kathy Griffin. She looked amazing, if I didn't say mm-hmm. that. So yeah, I thought that was all cool.
Kathy Griffin had, if you haven't watched it, go to Kathy Griffin's Instagram. She posted a reel where she talks, I reposted it, but she talks about her experience that night. What a fun story. Like, and Kathy Griffin has always been a really great storyteller, and I was so happy that she sort of gave a summation of her evening out. But it's like she was basically having a Madonna Sorry video, like slash music video girls party, where they were in a big old limo van and champagne was flowing, and they all like dressed to the nines and then overheated in their outfits, and they had to leave early, and they went and got donuts at that what was the donut Randy's. Shop
Randy's.
What was it?
Randy's Donuts.
Randy's, right. I've been to Randy's when I was in LA. I was like, I went to visit my cousin for the first time when she lived out there, and we were just randomly driving, and I saw that huge donut, and I was like, almost caused an accident doing a U-turn to get over there, because I was like, we're going to this donut shop because it's a huge donut in the middle of LA. And they are quite good donuts at Randy's, I gotta say. But I loved that, like, that's how they rolled up to Randy's and at late night on to get it. It's hysterical.
He dropped off Lunella at LAX, they said too. She said in that story before, like after the
so
show.
So funny. So funny. Randy's.
I do have to say, Kathy is quite a fan. One of the highlights for me was looking over and seeing her mouth the words to Bad Girl.
Oh, that's fun.
Like, who would have expected Kathy Griffin to know the words to Bad Girl? And when like Madonna did the masturbation, she was like snapping her fingers. Her and Paris were basically standing for the entire time. I think they maybe sat for the, Living for Love interlude, and that was it.
Right.
That being said, yes, they left early. They left during Crazy for You, which is...
Oh, my God. That's really early.
Very early.
Wow.
And before that, during like a prayer, like staff came and gave them all like free bottles of water. I was like, can I
seriously?
So they all like went out in a line during Crazy for You. And then a few songs later, a staff member came back, and I guess one of them had left their jacket and came and took their jacket. And like me and the people around me were like, well, I guess they're not coming back.
Oh, wow. Oh, so, but I think the most interesting tidbit of Kathy Griffin's story was she had told Paris Hilton to text Madonna to see about getting on stage as mm-hmm. the Vogue ballroom guest. And Paris had already had a message from Madonna 4 days prior asking Paris if she wanted to be a Vogue ballroom guest. And it was already too late. Like the ship had sailed basically. And, but I just was like, oh my God, we could have had Paris Hilton on stage either that Monday or Tuesday show that you went instead of whoever we got. Who did we get on Monday and Tuesday? Who was it again? It was,
Monday was Eric Andre.
Oh, right. And then it was,
Terry Joe.
Terry Joe, right. The miracle walking Terry Joe. It's a Madonna miracle. She doesn't need a wheelchair. But yeah, I was like, I'm curious how that all goes down. Like, it just seems like maybe Eric Andre wouldn't have gotten that. Maybe it would have been, or maybe Paris would have been instead of Ali Wong, mm-hmm. Who knows? But I love that Paris, according to Kathy Griffin, Paris was like, oh no, I can't do that. I get too nervous. I would have sweat and I would have looked gross and it makes me too nervous. So like, but like what an internet talking moment that would have been, you know?
I was going to mention that. I thought that was really interesting considering she's Paris Hilton and she's very public figure, but she wouldn't want to go on stage for a few minutes with Madonna. But
I know. I thought that was strange because she's been on stage. She's done like at like stupid, like MTV movie awards and whatnot. She's always been like, presenting awards and whatnot. So yeah, I thought that was, I guess it's a different thing. I mean, I know when you're on stage with Madonna, it's a little nerve wracking. So
besides them, I also saw, I saw Detox there last night. I saw Manila Luzon out of drag wearing the, Jean Paul Gaultier shirt. Sonique was there. I didn't see her though. From Drag Race. I also saw Lenny Kravitz was there. I didn't see him. And Darren Hayes from Savage Garden was also there. I didn't see him.
Wow. That's what I think is fun about the LA shows is like suddenly like you're with all of these huge celebrities, and you know, it's just like, and they're not really anybody, you know, like it's just, they're just people next to you in the room. Yeah,
I'm like, oh, I went tonight with Kathy Griffin. And
they but left it, before me.
It's interesting though, because I was talking to Ron from the podcast also. Shout out to Ron.
Oh yeah. So I saw, yes, you had a lovely picture with Ron Radvinsky. Hello, Ron.
Yes. Love Ron. We were just talking about how after the Tuesday show, like, where are all the big name celebrities? Like, there hasn't really been very many, but probably because the first shows were on a Monday and a Tuesday. So,
yeah, were all five of those shows, I'm blanking, were all five of those shows announced from the get-go, or did they add some? Or I wonder if, because it could have been that, like, when the original bunch went on sale, some people had purchased or... Or they're celebrities. They probably don't get their tickets until the week of.
So I know. And they're probably free, which is why they don't mind before even halfway. But but yeah, I think for LA, if I remember correctly, I think there was originally six shows at the Crypto.com Arena, formerly Staples Center. Mm-hmm. And when the
reschedule happened,
they had to actually change venues. So then it moved to five shows at the Forum.
Right. Oh, and you know who else was there? Blonde Ambition choreographer Vincent Patterson. I saw him in the crowd as well. Yep.
That's awesome. I wonder if she was aware of that.
Probably. I think she always knows who's in the room. I assume she probably gets a rundown. I don't know if it's like impressive to her, but you know, she's probably so used to just hearing names. So, before we get to Kylie and Madonna. What are your general thoughts of Celebration now, having finally seen it in person?
It's all 100% positive. I kind of knew what I was in store for. I hadn't actually seen like the show start to finish or anything, mm-hmm. but I've watched all your episodes and I've seen clips and knew the set list and everything. I think it's amazing. I think it's such a gift to the fans. I think she, like everyone else has said, you know, is clearly enjoying it. I think she's enjoying, I've seen, especially during like Erotica, it's like kind of a victory lap for her. It seems to be able to sing that again all these years later, when she's, you know, legendary status. My favorites, Nothing Really Matters, amazing opening. Mm-hmm. Live to Tell, you know, I knew what it was and I still got emotional the first time I saw it. Especially with the I Want Your Love holiday going into it. I love Like a Prayer. That remix is great and it's just so like pulsating. Bad Girl was actually exceeded my expectations. I thought that she sounded, that was one of the best songs she sounded live on. Die Another Day was great. Don't Tell Me, I think, had the best choreography. Mm-hmm. I actually really like the remix to Don't Cry For Me, Argentina. I want the like full version of that. And then, of course, Ray of Lights was like epic. That's actually probably my favorite Madonna song. And seeing the way that that was done was like kind of the way I've always wanted to see it done.
Yeah. I feel like Ray of Light, when you're in the stadium and it's happening above and around you and whatnot, it's just such a... sensory overload that I think, you know, between the remix that they're using, all of the visuals and the dancers, her, the lasers, like it's just a little, it's so much going on that it's, I loved it. I don't know how they're going to translate this show into a tour film and make it feel as euphoric and epic as it feels in person. But, if Jonas Åkerlund is indeed filming the tour film, I trust in Jonas. I trust in Jonas that he will do a bang up job.
Yes, same. The last song I'll mention is, I feel like this is a little bit of a controversial opinion in the fandom.
Let me get some tea. Hold on.
I was actually very, very happy with Take a Bow. It's
That is controversial. Some people are going to fight you on that one.
Yeah. And it's been like, it's probably my all time favorite Madonna ballad. I grew up in the 90s and like they were playing Take a Bow video
nonstop.
It's just, those images are ingrained in my mind, and they're such classic, iconic Madonna to me. Also, it's her number, it's her longest number one hit in the US.
Yeah.
So like, it's a big hit too. But yes, it would be nice to hear Rain now that I've heard Take a Bow, but I think I'm going to get Five Nights of Take a Bow, which is fine. And I will accept that because I was like, when she announced this tour of, you know, everyone thought greatest hits, it's more retrospective. That was one of the songs on the top of my list that I wanted to hear that she's never done before. Mm-hmm. So I was very, very happy with it. But yeah, the first night, the people in front of me, literally as like the first notes start playing and I'm like, you know, in awe and so happy, I hear them be, oh, I wanted to hear Rain. And then the person responds, I know, me too. Maybe another night.
That's funny. Like,
well, I'm happy with Take Him Out.
Yeah, I don't know if I haven't seen Take a Bow. I only ever saw Rain in that moment. So I guess for me, Rain sort of fit there, but I think, you know, like maybe had I not seen Rain then and seen Take a Bow, then Take a Bow would make sense there. I think the sentiment is still sort of the same, you know, it's a bit of, you know, the unrequited love, you know, that she's sort of giving out. Like to me, they're interchangeable. And I mean, I loved Rain because it's a, you know, erotica heavy tour, you know, and that was like, just sort of like pushing erotica even more over the edge. But I mean, Bedtime Story is probably one of my other favorite Madonna albums. So I'm totally fine with her alternating between one or the other. So.
Yeah. And I love Rain, by the way. So for people who love Rain, I love it too. But if I was only going once and I had the choice to hear Rain or Take a Bow, I would have chosen Take a Bow just because it's been a favorite of mine for so long.
Welcome back, everybody. To give some context, although it might look like this is the same live from Michael and myself, it is not. So yesterday, Michael and I started the Zoom. We got about 22 minutes in to the live show, and unbeknownst to us, the connection got disrupted somehow, and about 30 minutes of conversation between Michael and myself about the topic that we were most, you know, wanting to talk about, Kylie and Madonna, did not get recorded. So here we had this whole wonderful conversation. It was really robust and in depth and lovely. No one saw it. It was just like a private conversation between Michael and myself.
I very much enjoyed still.
Yeah. Thanks. It was a little test run. But there was outrage. People wanted to hear about Madonna and Kylie so much. And thank you for your impassioned messages. Yes. I know the episode cuts off after 22 minutes and we didn't get to hear about Madonna and Kylie. So as a favor to all of you listeners out there, here we are again. Take two. We're going to try this again. And just so you know, as backup now, I'm recording these in case YouTube fails me again. So now we've got backup and I'm drinking some green tea to bring in some positive energy for this. So Michael, I don't even remember how we transitioned from, we were talking about the last thing on the live was we were talking about the people in front of you or behind you that were complaining. They wanted to hear Rain as opposed to Take a Bow.
I was like, at least I got my little rant on Take a Bow in.
But yeah, so let's just pick back up from the moment that everyone was waiting for. Obviously, Kylie and Madonna were on stage, and it was, I know, I was so deflated because I was like, oh, I had such great puns and such all this cool lingo that we were talking about. I'm like, I'm not going to be able to replicate that again. Like, it's kind of like when you say something, then you're like, I'm going to have the same exact conversation all over again. I'm like, it's just not going to be as good or as fun. But tell me your take on Kylie and Madonna. What was it like to be in the audience?
Yes. Well, it was obviously amazing. And I do have some notes that I was reading yesterday. So,
Oh, good. Perfect.
It will help again today. I think the energy was just, you know, when the Vogue guest happened and it wasn't Kylie, I personally was like, oh, I don't think Kylie's gonna appear. Like I was preparing to text you being like, yeah, no Kylie. I think she was just here to watch. Then
can you imagine? Can you imagine?
I can. Yes. Like, I can 100% imagine that.
People would have revolted. Like, there would have been an uprising at that venue if Kylie was just there to watch the show. Like,
Nikki and Donna were, that's what happened when they went. So I 100% could have seen it, even though we were all thinking and hoping.
Yeah.
Madonna comes, you know, after, before the acoustic song, she comes to the end of the catwalk and she starts talking about how she has survivor's guilt, you know, after AIDS. And, you know, she always, I do appreciate how she links her dealings with AIDS in the 80s with her friends, with her Africa work with AIDS and David stuff. So she talked a little bit about that. And then she was saying how the theme of the show really is survival. And then, of course, she said, and I have a special guest for you all. And at that point, we knew Kylie was coming. And I feel like the energy was just like, oh, my God, it's happening. It's happening. I went to go grab, you know, my camera, my phone. And all of a sudden, then Kylie was there. And of course, the first thing we see is her wearing the shirt that says Madonna in the same style as Madonna wore the Kylie shirt.
Right. And that was for what? That was about 2000 for her music promo tour, right? But she didn't, she wore the Kylie shirt for just one of those promos, right? Because didn't she wear, that was when she was like switching up. Like she'd wore Kylie for one show. I think she wore Britney Spears for another. I think she.
Rocco? Did she wear Rocco?
I was going to say Rocco too. Yeah. I think it was a Rocco t-shirt. So yeah, I think that was one of the things that I loved the most about that moment was not only were we getting visuals of Madonna with Kylie for the first time, but now it's like Kylie did something so smart and giving a nod to that brilliant outfit. And that to me was like the epitome of fan service, you know?
Yeah.
Like whoever did that, whether it be Kylie's team, Madonna's team, both of them sort of like coming together. It was just like so, so smart of them to do that.
I think you mentioned even down to the like kind of pants Kylie was wearing were kind of matching what Madonna.
Yeah. So I think yesterday during our original conversation, I had said it was exact. It was not. I went back and looked. I had thanks to this. I was like, what did I get wrong in yesterday's chat that people would have come after me about? And it was the pants. Like if you had heard our original conversation, listeners, I was like, it was an exact outfit. Everything was perfect. No, it was not. It was a nod to. The only thing that was exact was it was like the same type of font and silver lettering. Otherwise, it was just a nod to it, but it was similar. Madonna's pants were brown with like a little swirl on it, sort of like a fleur-de-lis swirl. And Kylie had just snake pants on. They were just, you know, but I mean, look, Kylie and Madonna both looked good in those outfits. So
also mentioned yesterday that I think it's really cool that Madonna wore that in 2000, which was, you know, they sang part of Can't Get You Out of My Head, which is now probably Kylie's signature song and her most famous. And Madonna was wearing her on her shirt before that even came out, because that was around when Light Years came out, when she was living in the UK and stuff.
Yeah, it's Madonna, you know, she loves to get in on the trends early, and she knew. I think it was just America that wasn't really catching on to Kylie. I mean, Locomotion was huge when I was a kid. I mean, I remember roller skating to Locomotion, and that's, I think, how I found out about Kylie Minogue. You know, like a lot of people didn't know who she was, but I knew they used to play Spinning Around in a local gay bar of mine in Philadelphia. And so I knew of Kylie Minogue. So by the time Can't Get You Out of My Head came around, I was like, oh, here's Kylie Minogue again. But it was such a surprise for people. They didn't know who she was. Mm-hmm. And yeah, do we think that she's more well known now because of Padam Padam?
I think she's more well known, especially on like TikTok and social media, but I don't think Padam even charted on the Billboard chart, maybe on the dance, but
I think it did on the dance, but yeah, not on top 40. Yeah, it's so weird. It's so weird. Like, I don't, maybe
it
it's
was
a market
in the UK, I think. So yeah, like,
it must be a marketing thing. Like, they just don't throw the dollars behind, but hey, she's, I'm sure she made a slew of money at Voltaire in Vegas. So she probably doesn't care. Like, honestly, at that level of fame, like, I wouldn't care if I'm charting or this or that. Like, it's no big
deal. Oh, yeah. You know? Oh, yeah. And that's probably like why the record company, I'm guessing, isn't pushing as much here, because like, we're pretty ageist here in the US, and chances that they're going to play a 50 something year old Australian on the radio right now are pretty slim.
Right. It's like, let's just keep playing Taylor Swift.
Right.
And I mean, look, Taylor Swift has some good songwriting and some good bops, but I'm like, Padam was such a huge song. The fact that it like that didn't chart, that's just, I don't know, there's something weird about that. But so it was a 1-2 punch of Madonna bringing Kylie up, and first so we have visuals, and then there's the outfit, and then the brilliant moment that we didn't think would ever happen, they performed together.
Yes. And actually before that, they hugged, which was like, I just feel like caused such gay panic around the world. The fact that we have a picture of them hugging. And then, yeah. And before they started singing I Will Survive, Madonna was really, really gracious towards Kylie. She said, you know, it's a privilege for me to be up here singing with you. You're a fighter too, which obviously she is because of her breast cancer.
Right, right.
Rival. And then, yeah, and then Kylie mentioned this moment's been a long, 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 long time coming, which obviously is, we all feel that as well.
Yeah.
And then Madonna said, yeah, why do we take so long? And then she answered her own question. Well, you live far away. Australia is far, which, you know, the Australian fans know that. yeah. And so then they're about to sing I Will Survive, which I think we talked about yesterday is like the perfect song for these two women to sing. Before though, I just really think this moment is hilarious because I literally had two devices in my hand. I had my phone and my camera, and I was taking video with my phone and pictures with my camera. And as far as I know, I don't think there's a way to take video and put your lights on at the same time. If there is, it's not easy to do. And
you
so,
mean like if you're using your like your cell phone, you can't put the light on and your
right, exactly, the flashlight. And Madonna loves when everyone turns their lights on for the acoustic section, so she wanted that to be the case for her song with Kylie. And then so she asks everyone to turn on their lights, and only like, you know, maybe about a third of the lights pop up in the arena that usually do. And then Madonna goes, and I think this line was so funny. She was like, she knew, and she's like, everybody's too busy taking pictures. They're gagged, she said.
Yeah, yeah.
But then she started getting all Madonna about it and getting a little frustrated. And I swear she looks right in my direction. I have the video posted on my Instagram, and she goes in her like Madonna voice, come on, turn your fucking lights on. We're not doing this song unless this place is lit up like a goddamn Christmas tree. And like, I saw a few more go on, and I was just like, I'm sorry, Madonna. I need to record this for Stefan. I need to record this for myself. So anyway, she kind of gave up after a second. Kylie kind of joined in too. She was, she points to her shirt that said Madonna, and she goes, make this sparkle. And Madonna was like, yeah, make her breasts sparkle. So then they finally started singing I Will Survive together. I think they sounded great. And we kind of talked yesterday. It was great seeing their different styles of artistry bounce off each other for that song. Like, for example, like, you know, Madonna was throwing in like, and I hold my head up high, motherfuckers. And then Kylie, like, you know, oh, you're so silly. Touches her shoulder. And then, or like, she goes, when she goes, did you think I'd crumble? She like turns to Kylie. She's like, did you? And Kylie's like, no.
Yeah, there. I thought that was what I thought was most fascinating, and always is whenever artists finally take the stage together. Is you can sort of, you get to finally see the difference in their performance styles and how they present themselves on stage. You know, Madonna standing next to Kylie. Well, other than the fact that, like, you could see now how small Kylie is compared to Madonna. Like, I was like, oh my God, Kylie's so short. Like, Madonna is not a huge, she's not a huge person, but like, she made Kylie look really tiny next to her, which was cute.
Have you seen the thing with her next to Taylor Swift when they performed together?
Oh my God. Taylor Swift looked like a giraffe compared to Madonna.
Kylie, Madonna, Taylor Swift. Yeah. Nesting dolls.
But yeah, it was fun to sort of see, like, Madonna was still doing her very quintessential Madonna things in, you know, like gyrating against Kylie and just the way she was behaving. I thought it was fun to sort of see like Kylie being very like sprightly, you know, she's like bouncing around like this little, like, didn't Kylie play Tinkerbell?
Oh, in Moulin Rouge, yes.
Yeah, and so it's like, she, to me, it sort of felt like that was her character on stage with Madonna. Is like, she's very just like buoyant and bouncy. Madonna felt a bit more grounded and motherly in that moment, I think.
Motherly, but like also more crass, like she
usually. Oh, totally, yeah. And it was almost as if like Kylie didn't know what to do with it, you know, like, I mean, she's a fan of Madonna, so she knows how she is. But it just sort of seemed like Kylie was like, you know, like almost like, oh my God, Madonna, you're cursing. What are you doing?
I thought it complemented each other well. Like, I thought that energy of having like Madonna's like, you know, crassness and Kylie's like sweet bubbliness, I thought it like evened each them out. And like, I'm like, oh my God, I would watch them together all day because amazing. Because they still have that like love and respect for each other. And they're still, they even sounded pretty good together. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, the fact that they have two different performance energies and styles just made it even more interesting, I thought.
Yeah, because it was like, you know, obviously there was nothing choreographed about that performance at all. You know, the only choreography was Kylie coming up the stairs. And from there, it was just the two of them interacting in a way. I'm assuming they probably went through a small rehearsal of that earlier in the day at some point.
Yeah.
Just to sort of see how it was going to go. But still, the fact that it was acoustic, for one moment, I was like, are we going to get music coming in? Like, I thought maybe they'd start it acoustic and then all of a sudden it'd be like 1, 2, 3, and then like full blown I Will Survive disco music would start filling the auditorium and like getting everyone like really pumped. And that didn't happen.
They're dancing queens and like they're doing this like the most famous disco song, but it was so slow down and acoustic.
I know.
Which I'm not complaining. I'm very grateful for whatever they decided to do. But yeah, that was definitely interesting considering who they are and what they were singing and how they were singing it.
Yeah. So spoiler alert, we did say this yesterday and I was like, oh, good. I remember I'd said this yesterday. I wonder if we were to ever get an official Kylie and Madonna studio collaboration with them, if they would just do something as simple as like do a cover song of I Will Survive, because I think the expectations for a studio collaboration with the two of them would be so enormous. Like an original song, it has the possibility of really failing miserably. And, you know, cause like, if it's not good, if it's not catchy, like so many people would be, if we heard that there was a studio collaboration from them coming, you just wouldn't be able to please everybody. Like people would not be happy. And I think the route for them to go would be cover a song that's already been successful, like I Will Survive. And even though I would not be a fan of them doing a cover song, and especially I Will Survive, because I feel like I Will Survive, it's like the original by Gloria Gaynor is so perfect as it is and has been played so many times that it's like, what would they be able to bring to the table? But at the same time, I'm like, I just think the simplicity of that song and them just doing a cover version of it would be all we need. You know, like I don't need them to reinvent the wheel. Like just do a really good version, a faithful version of Kylie and Madonna singing I Will Survive. And the message is sort of on point for both of them. And I mean, they could even change a couple lyrics here or there to make it a bit more appropriate to their own personal journeys. And I think it would be just as successful. So
yeah,
that's my hope. Like if we were going to get a song from them, like, I don't even care. Like, and if they're not already doing that in LA, the two of them, like yesterday was their day off. And like, hopefully Guy Osiri was smart enough to be like, can we get you guys in the studio for 2 hours? Just knock out a studio version of I Will Survive. Like, that'd be amazing.
Mm-hmm. That would, at this point, I would be happy with any official release, even if it was just the live version that they did. But yes,
we got that studio. So the one thing we didn't have by the time we had recorded yesterday was the pro footage, which they released on Madonna's Instagram. Yeah. So I'm glad that we got that, and to no surprise. I mean, that's, you know, milk that moment for if by December, when they start doing a best of 2024 look back, if this moment is not mentioned, like, shame on whoever makes a list without Kylie and Madonna forces aligning, like, because that's like top majesty.
Okay. I obviously 1,000% agree. But I wonder if we're just in a little bit of this like pop gay bubble, because like after it happened, there was like numerous coworkers or like non-pop music fans who I was like, oh my God, did you hear Kylie showed up last night? They're like, no. Some were like, Kylie Jenner? No.
Oh God. Yeah. I mean, sure. But on the opposite side of that, there are times when people are talking about sporting events and I'm I have no idea what you're talking about. So I think we all live in our own little bubbles of what's important to us. And however, if you like pop music, to not have known that was happening, you know, then yeah. I don't know what they were doing, but.
And it's definitely on all of our 2024 lists.
Correct. So. Yes. It will probably be the number one moment of the MLVC top 2024 moments in Madonna. So,
which I'm very like, feel very privileged that I was there to see in person.
Amen. Yeah, I know. I love that so many people got to see that and experience that. And so, of course, as we know, then in addition to them singing I Will Survive, Madonna started an acoustic rendition of Can't Get You Out of My Head, which she had previously sung on during the Rebel Heart tour. She had sung that one time, which is, I think, when we all thought that was when she was going to bring Kylie up, and that just did not happen.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. somebody had retweeted Madonna's tweet back from when she was on the Rebel Heart tour, saying, you know, Kylie, where are you? We need to, we need to get together or whatnot. And I was like, see, she had a dream. She worked really hard and her dream came true. You know, it only took her about 8 years for it to happen.
8 years since then, but like 24 since she wore the shirt that said Kylie. Right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That moment in pop culture was a long, long time coming. Like, and to think that like we almost didn't get that, you know, it's just, so it's crazy. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so,
I would love if they were to do an original or a cover song or an original song. Look, they could do whatever they want. I'll lap it up. You know, like I'm not going to be petty, like just bring it on. But I think, you know, I'm hoping maybe we would get that sooner rather than later, because it'd be great if the tour ended, we got the tour film, you know, maybe in a theater or something, and then we got the live album, and then maybe to coerce people to buy that live album, you would also get like bonus track, Madonna, Kylie, I Will Survive. And then that's like the gay song of the summer, because they could like launch that in May and then just play it all summer at the gay bars or on the beach clubs, and it would be heaven.
That all sounds great to me.
Have Stuart Price produce it. I mean, come on. Like, this stuff writes itself, you know? Like, it's not rocket science.
It's all lined up for them.
Yeah. Here you go. It's like being served up on a platter. Just go. It's fine.
And I do think they're both at the point in their careers where they're like, they've achieved this like legendary status and have broken so much ground that I feel like they both have this kind of freedom right now that they can do whatever that they want. Like what if we got a whole album of that they did together? Like,
oh,
that would be, I mean, look, let's not get selfish, Michael. I mean, but, you know, I mean, we know that Madonna's been working on new music, you know, like if she was planning to do a new album, I mean, maybe this could be like the kickoff single for it finally. Or like, who knows? Like,
and they both worked with Stewart before.
I know. Seriously, Madonna, Kylie, and Stewart Price, that's a match made in heaven. Like them doing, I mean, yeah, look, hell, an EP of the, like, imagine, again, one of the things I love about the show is just going wild with fantasy ideas. Like, they team up to be like a duo for like one standalone album, you know, like, yeah. It's like for just for pop shits and giggles, they just decide, let's just be a girl group for one album. And we get like a tight 10 and it's just them singing. Again, it could just be disco covers and I would be fine. Like they could sing like an album of ABBA covers and I would be fine with that, you know?
Except Cher's already taken.
Oh, that's all right. Scratch that. No. Yeah, we don't want that. Donna Summer covers. Or, you know, like, I don't know. Whatever.
So they did about a minute of Can't Get You Out of My Head. That I think was one of the highlights for me, just because like that was so out of Madonna's playbook, you know, like not Madonna's playbook. Like we've heard her do I Will Survive. We're kind of used to that. Obviously not with Kylie, but you know, how many times is Madonna going to sing Can't Get You Out of My Head with Kylie Minogue?
Yeah. Hold on. We're going to the chat real quick. Let's see what there actually are people joining us, even though I didn't advertise that we were going live for part two. Liberty. Liberty's on the internet. Interesting, because Liberty said she was taking a break from the internet.
Liberty makes you fall in love with Forbidden Love from Bedtime Stories after the Valentine's Day episode. So thank you.
Oh, there you go. Someone is saying rumor is it's Beyonce at tonight's show. So Michael, you will have to let us know if it is, because we're between the time between the time change of daylight savings and the fact that you're 3 hours behind us, I am not staying up in time for that. I will wake up early to see Beyonce.
I don't know if this got cut off, but I am going tonight.
Yes, you're going tonight and on.
Yes. I'm doing all five LA shows. Never done that before. This is the tour to do that.
Correct. I think that's good. Oh, Liberty's saying she took a social media break, not a YouTube break. Okay, I see. She's just making up the rules as she goes. Yeah, like, I technically think YouTube is a social media. Yeah. Like, YouTube social media. But if Liberty, you can... she can... If it's not... YouTube social media for Liberty, then
taking
that's
a meta break maybe from
yes. Yeah, she's not supporting Instagram or Twitter.
Just to wrap up the Kylie, the only other thing I mentioned yesterday was after they did Can't Get You Out of My Head, before Kylie even left the stage, they literally started playing the beginning of La Isla Bonita, and I was like, oh my god, she should sing like Madonna did a minute of Kylie's song. Is Kylie going to do a minute of Madonna's song? But no, she kind of like rushed off the stage. They were like playing the music while she was still there. So I thought that was a bit of a missed opportunity that like could have gotten them doing a bit of a Kylie song and a bit of a Madonna song. It was right there, but not complaining. Very happy with what we got. It was more than what we expected.
Yeah. It was amazing. I mean, like, we will, you know, nitpick and be like, oh, I want this, I want that. Like, we keep moving the goalpost further. You know, it's like, but it is what it is. Now I have a dream of them doing a girl group duo album. You know, like, now that's like the bar is set super high. Like, I love how from, like, in 2 seconds, we go from wanting one song to a whole album.
Sorry. Also, I mentioned yesterday, Gloria Gaynor actually tweeted her support. I think she retweeted a fan posting this and with like a bunch of emojis of like, you know, thumbs up and praise and stuff. And she's actually worked with Kylie as well. She was on bonus tracks from Kylie's disco album.
Yeah. So I'm telling you, they would be perfect. I Will Survive would be a perfect duo, like a perfect cover song for them.
What about the Rosary? Did that make it in?
You know what? I didn't get a chance to rewatch. I was so deflated after I saw that it didn't make it. I was like, I almost was like, should I just take down the episode? Because so many people were like, where's the rest of it? And I'm like, I don't have the energy for this right now. But
yeah. Real quick, the rosaries, they went on sale yesterday, which I didn't know. But I happened to be at the show Thursday night, right in the area where Bob throws it. And it went right past me to the person behind me. Like, had I reached up a little bit more, it would have been mine.
You were juggling a phone and a camera. So it's, yes. That's, you know, it is what it, but yeah, somebody had mentioned to me, I got a message that on Madonna.com, the tour rosaries for North America were on sale. And I remembered how I had one of the European rosaries in a shopping cart, thinking, oh, I'll buy this and maybe I can resell it because I'm like, when am I going to wear a rosary? And I'm not a collector of that type of thing. Like, I'll do Madonna t-shirts, but like trinkets and stuff, I'm just like, eh. But I decided I'm not going to get the European rosary. So I let it go. And then they sold out and people were like, people are selling them for like $1,000 on eBay. And I'm like, why didn't I buy one? I should have just bought one and resold it. Cause then that would afford me my trip to Austin and to go see the show again. I was like, I see, I could just do it that way. So when the North America rosaries went on sale, I thought, oh my God, I can buy one now. So I got one of, they didn't have Philadelphia. I really wanted to get Philadelphia and they didn't have it. It was already gone, but they had the quote unquote fascist state of Toronto on sale. And so I thought, oh, that's cute. That's truth or dare. So I bought a silver Toronto rosary. So I was excited about that. And then I messaged hairstylist of the podcast, Jason Lee, and said, Jason, because he had wanted one and wasn't able to get one. Or sorry, he was able to get one from Europe, but he also wanted to get one from North America. He was able to get it. By the time he messaged his friend to get it, they were already sold out. I was like, geez, I can't believe these things go so quick.
Yeah. I'm gonna be on the lookout now because I'm like, now I feel like I missed out twice on
yeah. Well, it's weird because they don't even make an announcement. It's not like they send out an email. Like, they just sort of like drop it onto the website, and like, if you happen to be on Madonna.com and see that they're there, then you can get them. But somebody in the chat, Kevin Smith, says he bought 3 rosaries yesterday. Well,
any of them from LA that you're willing to?
Yeah, I guess they must do for, I wonder if they do for each night of the show, they must do a gold and a silver for each night because Bob has to throw them out. So, the LA pop-up shop. You should go check and see if they have them at the LA pop-up shop today.
I heard that was canceled.
I saw that it was open.
Really?
Yeah. Although I heard it wasn't fancy. Mm. Like I heard it was because I think they're running out of merch.
They are. They're totally running out of merch. Like
I know we were talking about that yesterday. I don't know if that again made it onto the show, but yeah.
I think we were actually even talking about that after it ended anyway. But yeah, like I wanted this in black. They didn't have any extra larges. Mm-hmm. They have the red Vogue shirt that one of your listeners was wearing in a recent episode. The keychain that had all, like that has all 4 Madonnas. They didn't have that the first 2 nights, but they did have it the most recent night. So yeah, they're definitely running short on some merch.
Yeah, yeah. Well, keep an eye out. They're saying LA Rosary wasn't online. So maybe LA will, maybe some like LA and Mexico are still forthcoming. We'll see.
Well, okay. I have to look into where the pop-up shop is.
I don't know. I heard it was disappointing though. Like there was no new merch and people are rabid. This is like, the amount of people buying merch and getting stuff, it's kind of crazy. Like it's
Speaking of that, I showed you this yesterday off. Also, this came the same day as Kylie.
Michael is showing us the newly relaunched Celebration vinyl. And he's opening it now. Oh, look at all those Mr. Brain. You know, it's so funny. Whenever I see that, I remember they had shown the Mr. Brainwash artwork. It was in the West Village in New York near where I lived, and I used to pass by it all the time, and I loved it because I was like, yeah, this is how it should be. Like Madonna's huge face on the side of a building that you can just walk by. Like it should be there all the time. So I love that. And but I remembered when he did that artwork, I was unhappy because her hairline was off because he had mashed her hair from one picture into the face of another picture. And I remember thinking, I'm like, this isn't right. Like they mashed it together and it's not proper. I'm so used to it now, but I remember when it first came out, I was just like, I was outraged. I was like, how dare he?
Yeah. So Thursday was one of those like magical Madonna days. Like this literally came hours before the concert. Then I see the concert and Kylie shows up. It was an amazing day. Also, it came with a lithograph for like the first certain number of people who bought it.
Oh, nice. And you got a lithograph. Mm-hmm. Oh, so you got in quick. Mm-hmm. Nice.
I did. I ordered it from Rhino. So it was shipped pretty quickly. They seem to do it a lot quicker than Madonna.com.
Oh, so interesting. That's so weird that they would have it, like you could get it at multiple places. I wonder, oh, so I guess, do you know if you, can you get it on Merch Bar too? You must be able to get it on Merch Bar.
Probably, I haven't looked. And I know the litho was sold by Rhino and by Madonna.com.
Mm-hmm, as my- mm-hmm. Well, that was so huge expectations. So if it, because I think now the rumor mill is going around like, who's Madonna going to have on stage next? So she's got two more times in LA. I wonder if she would do Beyonce,
or
Britney. I wonder if that would be the last one. I would love to see Madonna and Britney.
Are the Beyonce rumors as substantiated as the Kylie ones were?
That somebody just mentioned in the chat, so I cannot confirm nor deny that is legit. But I, as we all know, we did. Had that big rumor that Madonna and Beyonce were going to appear on each other's tours because they were both going to be in Texas at the same time. And the one night one of them was on, the other night the other one was on. And I mean, honestly, that would be another moment to break the internet. And if Beyonce is going to be on stage with Madonna, I assume she's going to have to perform. There is no way Beyonce could be on stage with Madonna and not do Break My Soul. In the Vogue moment, you know, like
she would have
to come out and do Break. She has to, like, if she's just the Vogue judge, it's a waste of time. Like,
I mean, it's not a waste of time, but it's less preferred. I would take seeing Beyonce and Madonna on stage. Like, I don't know if they've ever really done that much together on stage. Like, I know they were at like the title thing.
Yeah. We've seen them in the same space. We've seen them at dinner tables and we've seen them like together, but yeah, they've never performed.
Yeah.
And that would just be epic just to have them like performing in the same space. I would love that.
Yeah.
Britney, I don't think Britney needs to perform with Madonna. I think
she's not going to perform. If she's there, she will be a Vogue judge.
Yeah. I think Britney with Madonna as a Vogue ballroom judge is all this pop world needs, you know, like that would just be, it would just be cute to see Britney again with Madonna in the same space, you know?
Also,
I'm sure Madonna would like do a little kiss on the lips just for fun.
Yeah. And also I fear a little bit that if Britney did make an appearance, it would just then completely overshadow Kylie and Madonna. And like everyone would just remember Britney and Madonna because Britney is just such a topical.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll hear a little bit of Hollywood. Ron and I were saying we would have loved to hear that. Like we got, like you guys got I Love New York in New York.
Uh-huh.
Haven't so far, so
yeah. Well, we shall see. Well, Michael, enjoy the rest of your time at the celebration for the next two nights, tonight and Monday. So have a blast.
Thank you.
I hope you have a great time, and I'm glad that we were able to carve some time out and make this happen again. So
sorry to disappoint anyone yesterday that the topic you were
it was such a cliffhanger. People were like, where'd they go?
But yeah, I will definitely be in touch, and maybe if you want me back, if Beyonce or Britney do show up, then I can definitely talk a little bit about that.
Sounds good. If we have the time, if we can fit it in, because we all work, right? I mean,
And I'm setting my expectations that it is not going to happen. So
yeah, it's always better to just, I mean, look, Madonna and Kylie, that's fine. That's good enough.
Oh yeah.
For me.
I'm, Yes, I'm 1,000% happy with that. That made the entire experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, remember, everybody, you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Threads at MLVC Podcast. If you'd like to donate to the show, we're on Venmo at MLVC Podcast. Or if you'd like, you can smash that super thanks button on YouTube. Donate that way. If you've not yet subscribed to our YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button so you never miss a video. We're going to be going live as much as we can over the next remaining weeks of the Celebration Tour, speaking to people who've seen the show. So stay tuned for more. Let's just pray that everyone got to see this end segment, our part two of Madonna and Kylie. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Until next time, everybody. See you later. Enjoy the rest of your day. First I was afraid, I was petrified, kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. But I spent oh so many nights just thinking how you did me wrong. And I grew strong, and I learned how to get along. Go on now, go. Walk out the door. Just turn around now, 'cause you're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to hurt me away? It's a false strength I have not to fall apart.